Welcome to The Conversation. It is Wednesday, the 5th of April. When did this happen? 2017. 1 o'clock. Listen, enjoy. Oh, whoa, what magic are we going to have?
Channel Radio.
Welcome, welcome to The Conversation. How are you? I cannot believe it is April. It's just crazy, Miriam. Where did it go? Where did it go? So my name is Sarah Ann Lucas. Most and all of my friends call me Bird, and I would love you to do the same. I'm the mama to the three most extraordinary little big people, and the little person is in with us today. I'm an author, businesswoman, international speaker, and Ironman. Now, the conversation came from having many, many magical coffee conversations. You know those conversations when you sit and you have a coffee with somebody and you're listening to somebody else's table and you're like, oh my gosh, they are saying the most amazing things. I want to be in their conversation. So here it is. I brought it to you. This came with the most wondrous curiosity of you. Why you do what you do and how we can share the most extraordinary people to support you in being the most important person you know. And today's conversation is with Miriam McGurk. Hey, Miriam.
Hello, Bird.
How are you?
I'm so great and happy to be here today.
I know. Well, I'm going to introduce you to Miriam shortly. Miriam is a published author, a storyteller, a blogger, a speaker. And I heard her speak last week. She was amazing. Was it 2 weeks ago or one?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
almost.
My.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It was.
Now, I love this. She's a feisty, passionate Irish lady, a writer of fiction and creative writing with a quirky sense of humour that is engaging, fun, motivational and exciting. And she's a survivor with a very warm personality. Excuse me, I'm going to cough now. That reaches out, shares and draws people in. And she feels your energy. I love this because I'm with you too. The most beautiful storyteller with the most powerful message. And Louie, you're going to love this. Miriam's really hope. You say hope all the time. And my little one always says to me, Mum, there's always hope. But before I introduce you to Miriam and we go deep into her story, let's catch up with last week's David Saville. I love the thought that David gave the seven watts one who. Did you listen to it last week?
Yes.
It was just brilliant. He just paused.
Yes, I loved that. Yeah.
I know, and really listened. And as much as it's not great for radio, actually, it felt right. So if you didn't hear it and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I missed last week's catch up or the listen again on Channel Radio's website, then go and listen to David Saville on Bird and a Bike's podcast on my SoundCloud or iTunes, which is Bird and a Bike, The Conversation, or on my website, birdandabike.co.uk. Because where you are, there I am. So how are you? What have you been up to this week? I think these weeks just get shorter and shorter. Building a ridiculous dream. Wow, what does that mean? Well, I've been doing lots of Facebook Lives at the moment about this, and you've been messaging me with the most beautiful words about the timing, how this was so needed for you at this point in your life. Now, last week I was speaking to a huge, large audience. And then this week I had an intimate group of 13 to 17-year-olds. So last week, bigger group, about 150 to 200 13 to 17-year-olds, and an intimate group this week of the same. And I watch and I observe and I am curious about behavior patterns, why you do what you do. And I always want to interrupt patterns so that you surrender to the words that are coming out so that you go, wow, so that we don't have these barriers. And I hear you. You're going, well, that's great, Bird, but how do you do that? Well, connecting with something that means the world to that person And that would be, if you think about it, so 13 to 17 year olds always carry their phone around with them. And so do I. It's part of my body now. And I always interrupt it by saying to them right at the beginning, and you can imagine, so you've got a big auditorium, 200 youngsters, 13 to 17 young adults, with a teacher at the end of each line, and their phones are away. So I come on with my photo of me walking on water and music blaring, and I say to them, right, get your phones out. And they look over to their teacher and they're like, am I allowed to do this? I'm like, yep, teachers, I want you to get your phones out. And we had some business owners in the audience as well. So they get their phones out and then I connect with them. So they're already then surrendering into the moment because they're like, wow, this is amazing. The energy shifts and it shifts immediately. Doesn't take a little time for them to like me, know me, get to, they're like, oh my God, Barrett, this is awesome. And then that's when magic happens. And here's the pattern. When I ask people, what do you believe? They always, always reply, I don't know. And that's powerful. I'm like, wow. So I let them have a couple of seconds to themselves to think about it. And then they always then go on to say what they do believe. So what do you believe? This is the most powerful question for you to explore. What do you believe and how much time do you take to explore that? Let myself and Miriam know. What do you believe? How do I do that? Go to our Facebook, The Conversation. It's our Facebook page. Or you can connect with me right here on burdenofbike_. So what do you believe? Let us know. So without further ado, it is my absolute honour to share with you the one, the only Miriam McGurk. Welcome to The Conversation.
Thank you so much, Burden. It's absolute privilege and a pleasure to be here today. I really appreciate it.
How are you, feisty Irish lady?
I know. You've got to be feisty. Feisty, passionate. That's what we're known for.
Sassy.
Oh, lots of sassiness. Has to be.
I agree. I met a beautiful American young lady years ago and she's telling me the difference between salty and sassy. Apparently, salty's not so bad and sassy's like right up there.
Out there.
Let's be sassy.
Out there. I can remember years ago, men were assertive and women, when they were assertive, were called aggressive. I went, whoa, I'm not having that. Feisty and out there making it happen. Yes, you know, strong women. And that's why I love passion. I love feistiness because we may feel the fear, but we're going to do it anyway.
Beautiful. Miriam, tell us who you are, what you do.
Well, a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. Not sure how I can follow that, Bird. I'm Irish, as you've already made the introduction on. I'm actually from Dublin, half Cork, half Dublin. So I'm a true blue Irish lady. And I started my life in Dublin City, and also by the sea, and I love the sea. And we may find as the conversation goes on, the sea and the healing therapy that it gives may flow into that conversation. I would say you talked about curiosity.
I'm very curious about behavior.
I have always been curious. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. Always very curious, always knew I was different. Always creative, but at a young age, I didn't know what that meant, being creative. But just to tell you a funny story about curiosity, when I was very young, an uncle of mine appeared from, he'd been in the Navy, came back with a teddy bear for my elder sister and myself. Sorry, my darling sister, it's now live on air. Here it is, the truth. He gave us a teddy bear each. And in the center of the teddy bear's tummy was a key that played lullabies. Well, of course, curiosity got the better of me. So I decided to go and research, where was this music coming from? Where was this music coming from? And I cut open my sister's teddy bear. And the box that held the battery for the music fell out. Later on that day, my mother and sister came back and saw the destruction. Of course, I didn't destroy mine. And I don't think she's ever forgiven me. So I'd like to say live and air, curiosity in that case got the better of me. But she has a teddy bear coming to her very soon. But curiosity, I've never believed what people say. I like to find out for myself. I like to do my own research. I like to always be equipped with the information and feel comfortable with it. And so, therefore, I suppose one of the things that I've always loved is words, the power of words, how they can impact on us, whatever age we are. They have a huge influence on our lives. They can raise us up, inspire us. And I'm a great believer, and I've talked about this before, as you know, Bird, is that we each have a story to tell.
And so you told your story, didn't you? Because I want to get people to know who you are. So you're an author.
I'm an author, a storyteller, a blogger and a speaker. And sometimes I have been known in my feisty little way to commentate occasionally.
MC, have you ever done any MCing, Miriam?
I haven't.
You'd be great at
really?
That, bringing the whole show together.
Oh.
Don't you think?
I've never given a thought, Bird. It's interesting because in the stories, in the books that I've written and the stories that I tell, I've always been, and this is one of, I hear, you know, one of our Irish, what is it called? We're known in Ireland to be great storytellers. We love a good story. I believe it's really important. There's always a weave and a thread, and that it kind of filters through. And for example, in the very first book I did was a book of short stories about my other life in that I spent 5 months a year in Turkey. But in each, it's anecdotal, it's funny, but there is a thread that weaves its way through all to the end. And at the end, you think, ah, and one would like to think, you know, that there's a message and there's lessons to be learned.
How did you go about becoming a writer? Have you always written all your life? Or was this something that was a big moment you thought, I have to put... So I believe that you shouldn't allow the words to die on your lips.
Yeah. Completely.
How did you become a writer?
From a very young age, I was known as a storyteller in my family. And I couldn't sing. I could act, yes, but couldn't sing. So
that bothered you?
It did, because in the convent, every time the priest would come along, he'd say, the nun who was in charge of the choir would say, Mary McGurk, you're out of tune again. Out. Or little old me would be put to the back of the of the choir line. But I was always a storyteller, and I always carried a notebook and pen with me. And I would make up stories. I was a great observer of people. I loved to go out and just see what was happening outside in the big world. Even to this day, I have dates with myself. I actually take my notebook and my pen. I push myself away from the desk and off I go. So I was always an observer of people. And then I'd come back and I'd, you know, writer's license, creative. I'd make up all these stories, sometimes plays, drama, whatever. At the age of 19, I was given the opportunity of writing some articles for a very well-known broadsheet newspaper in Dublin. That ignited even more passion for me. I was also an avid reader. Absolutely avid reader. I completed this project for the editor of this newspaper, which was writing some articles and doing some interviews. Never done it in my life. And he offered me at the end of that the opportunity to become a full-time writer and train me up as a journalist. He said, have you ever thought of becoming a writer? I shrugged. I saw my name in lights, but I never used the title writer. Or author, or storyteller, yes. Mm. But there was always a passion there. But life, I allowed life and my other career, which was setting up restaurants and running restaurants and then health and fitness, I allowed myself to become immersed in that to the point where that talent, that creative ability got pushed down and was pushed to the background. And circumstances changed some, oh gosh, now it's 20 years ago that put my life on hold. But what it did for me was started to develop that and ignited that passion for writing again.
How do you write? I get this quite a lot. People say, we all say we've got a book in us.
Yes.
I've got loads of titles. Yeah. I've got loads of books in me. I'm just writing my second one, researching my third one. Yeah. And titles come really easy to me. I love creating titles. Yeah. But the process of writing, like you said, life can sometimes squash that artistry. Yeah. How do you write?
As you say, it just comes naturally. I actually started writing poetry. And the inspiration for the poems would come within 5 to 10 minutes. I had the foundation for the poem. I had the title, as you say, I had the title first. And then within 2 or 3 days, that poem was completed. And I can remember over a 6-7 week period, I had completed 6-7 poems. And then I started to do what I called blurbs, which are now known as blogs, telling stories. And the response was so positive and the feedback, people wanted to hear more. I started to develop those. But in terms of writing, I'm very strict. I love the isolation of writing. I love going into my, I call it my writing cave, and I could be in there for hours and in silence. When I'm here in Kent, it's not a problem. I'm just in my little, we have an apartment which I call the loft, halfway to heaven. Well, what better place to have inspiration and to write? Mm. And when I'm up the mountain in Turkey, where I spend 5 months of every year, all I have is birdsong. And just me, my laptop, and I'm always making notes. You know, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll get an idea and there it is. But it just seems to flow. But I have to get in that zone and I need the headspace.
So two things, really. First thing, and I love talking to writers and authors, I think you can be two things. So it's great to publish a book and then people tend to stop. Yes. Actually, I'm a writer as well. So I'm an author. I've got a book all, you know, published, but I'm an actual writer as well.
Yes.
Two things. Do you have rituals that have to be in place? So like Stephen King always puts in a candle certain place and he has to be in the same clothes or certain positioning.
I don't do that. But what I have is I love my crystals. I've used crystals for years. And one of them right beside to the left hand side of my keyboard is an amethyst, a great big chunk of amethyst. And I have in Turkey, I have on every window, I have crystals, and that energy, I can feel that energy. I don't need to dress the same way, but I do need, I focus by starting my day by walking, doing yoga or Pilates.
Interesting.
Getting, and that's where the ideas come. Mm. And I set myself up for the day, not purposely, but it just comes. I come back, I have a great power breakfast that's going to give me that absolute energy and focus. Mm. And then I am so excited about getting into that room on my own and writing.
And do you write for, does it channel? Do you feel like this channel from the universe coming through the head and down into the paper? Do you feel like you can write for hours? Like some people write for 20 hours. Some people, I wish you could see Miriam's face. No, but I don't. Or do you do like 1 hour slots or 50 minutes? Or how does it come for you?
Sometimes it depends on what I'm writing. If I'm writing about health and well-being or inspirational or coming up with quotes, that can be almost like channeling and it comes from another source. But also I can be in the shower and the inspiration comes and I have to jump out and write it down very, very quickly.
Waterproof crayons the shower,
that's
Chris.
Right.
That's your next job to
Absolutely.
Get from Miriam.
And paper, wax paper.
Could you imagine? I'm going to look for some now, Miriam. I'm going to look for some. We've come to that time. I know. Can you believe it? It's your first song.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is what I love. Miriam gave me a load of songs to choose from. And it reminded me, did you listen to Tony Salimi? He did the same as well. He gave me this list of songs. Yeah. And I chose Fields of Gold by Eva Cassidy. What made you choose that song? What is the meaning for you?
Well, of all the songs, Bird, that you should choose for me, I've got goosebumps because that is Chris and mine, our signature song from way back. We met 22 years ago and we'll be married in September, 21 years. And wherever we go, that song is playing, Fields of Gold, either by Sting or Eva Cassidy, it doesn't matter. And it's a bit like your intro music. Mm. I could listen to that forever. And it's just a great reminder of the journey that Chris and I have been on and how all that we've learned together and separately. And it just goes right deep into my soul and my heart when I hear
Let's go there, Miriam. Let's go deep.
Let's do it.
Enjoy.
the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love among the fields of barley? And you can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. I never made promises lightly, and there have been some that I've broken, but I swear in the days still left we'll walk in fields of gold. We'll walk in fields of gold.
Research and development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RiftResearch.com. Channel Radio. Great music and talk. Plain sailing across the airwaves.
So welcome back. We are here with Miriam McGarrick. How are you, Miriam?
I'm doing so well. Really enjoying being on the conversation.
It's just relaxing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just you and
is.
I.
It is.
It's beautiful. Where did it all begin for you? Who is Miriam Gatt and where did she grow from?
You know, right here, right now is where I'm meant to be. This is the real Miriam. This is the Miriam without all the fluff or living through someone else's life. But it's taken me the last 17 years and probably the last 4 years to really, really strip off all the other stuff that I had, if you like, I was in someone else's story.
Yeah.
And I had this of how I presented myself. I felt, you know, I was on stage all the time because of the careers I had. One was setting up and running restaurants for 15 years. The other was I actually worked out of a private health club for almost 6-7 years. And it was always, I called it, let the show must go on, eyes and teeth.
So was it a mask that you were wearing? Was it you?
As part of it, some of it was me, but actually it wasn't tapping into the real me. And perhaps as well, I was afraid of people seeing the real me. And actually the real me, I love the real me now. I'm so at peace with who I am. And everything now flows because of what's happened to me in the last 17 years, last 20 years. And when I decided 13 years ago to become a full-time writer, it started to flow. But 5 years ago, when I finally decided I was by hook or by crook going to publish that first book and if you like, cut the ties, cut that baby loose, allow myself go out into the public eye. And even in the last 2 years of writing under my name, Miriam McGarth, that was a big moment.
Listen, I want to take you back a little bit. So you've been in your pub, you know, you've been in your health, your fitness, and you've got this show and you've got your teeth and I can just see you
smiling now.
But what was it that gave you, and I call it a had enough moment, you reached that moment where this can't go on?
The moment came, I was working probably 16, 17 hours a day, for 22 years. And I felt really alone. I was passionate about food, passionate about health and fitness, but there was just something in there that I felt unfulfilled. And actually what it took was everything had to fall apart, a little bit like the jigsaw bird. Everything was like, so I thought I had this beautifully, perfectly placed jigsaw. And one day, someone came along, tripped, and the whole thing blew up in the air and fell. And slowly but surely, these last years, I've had to find the pieces. And the jigsaw is beautifully made again, complete again. It's very, very different pieces. They don't come.
How did you function in this? You call it the wilderness years. How did you function? Just give us an idea of, were you in bed all day because you felt as if there was nothing in you to move? What was that like?
It was complete disbelief. Just complete denial of what had happened. I'd had warning signs from the age of 20. I had warning signs. And here was I at the age of 42, only married to Chris, my superhero, for 6 months. And I think back now, Bird, and maybe that was a soft place to fall, that I felt secure enough in our relationship, even though we're only married 6 months. And nature took over. And I finally collapsed. And maybe, even though I was still in denial, it was time to let go.
Really. Did you surrender into that moment? They say a surrender. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. I was bewildered. I was very frustrated. I was angry. I've never asked the question, why did this happen to me? I was just angry. You know, I thought I was superwoman. And I was the one always imparting my wisdom and knowledge to others and helping and supporting others. But where I came from, we were never taught to help and support ourselves. So I had to learn that. So it wasn't surrendering, but actually physically, there wasn't no choice. Yes, I had the choice. And the choice was stop. Because right now, it was just being frozen in time. Mm. There was nothing I could do.
How do you just stop and be? You know, how did you do that?
Physically, my body had broken down. Nothing was working. All the organs had broken down. The immune system was shot to pieces. I literally could not physically even get out of bed. The effort, the energy of just getting out of bed, walking. I stopped driving. I couldn't read. I couldn't walk. From here to where the door is behind me, I couldn't walk. So it was like nature had given me all the signs, and I went through the green light, the amber light, the red light. And then they said, right, we're going to pull you up by the short and curlies. Mm. We're going to trip you up so hard that you now have to take stock and listen. Because, you know, we can all listen, but we don't always hear.
Oh, without a doubt. When you say there were signs, and I love this, we could talk about this for hours. So when there are signs, what were the signs you think, gosh, I wish I'd seen that? Because we're both strong women, so we're like, well, of course I've got to keep going. I've got this purpose, this drive. What were the signs that you think, if I'd stopped then?
I actually think, well, I whatever signs were there, I know. Well, I collapsed. I had blackouts.
Right. You still kept going.
I cut my eye, above my eye, and you know, I thought I was going to have major stitches. And all I ever knew was pick yourself up and off you go again. Relentless, relentless, succeed, push, push, push.
Where did that come from? Was it family? Was it habitual? Was it?
I think it was family. You know, we are all really hard workers. We're always grafters. If you sat down to just relax, that was considered idleness, maybe being lazy. And also such a strict upbringing, you know, and also being common educated, that had a huge influence in the sense that I didn't accept it. I rebelled. But I believe in many, many ways it affected me later on, you know, that I was even more driven.
Mm.
And I think as well, when I first came to London, I really wanted to be successful and I wanted to carve out a career as a woman. I was very much a feminist then, and about equal rights and so on. I suppose if I wasn't an author, I'd be still out there fighting. So
I can see you with a banner.
Oh, I'm there with a banner. It, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the old feistiness in me. And I have I have strong beliefs and a strong belief system. But I think a lot of it was conditioning.
I was just going to say, was it your belief system or was it handed down to you beautifully, which is respectfully? Mm. But then now you've actually gone, well, what do I believe?
That's right. That's exactly what works for me. And when it works for you, and I'm really discerning now about everything that I do, every decision I make, I actually think if I take that next step, what is the impact on me? And if it's a question that it's going to take my energy or it's going to have another kind of impact on me, then I will readdress how I need to approach that.
Yeah. You've collapsed. You're in the wilderness for such a long time. The impact on relationships, on every relationship you have, how was that for you?
I think I was in such a fog. I call it fudge. You know that horrible, you know, slurry and sludge?
Mm.
So I couldn't see. There was no focus. There was no vision of what was ahead. It was just literally taking a breath. And if I could even do that and get down the stairs, for example, and make breakfast or, you know, get into the shower and have a shower. That was an accomplishment. That was an achievement that day. I felt for Chris. I'm always been a positive person and a glass half full person. And Chris and I mean, he didn't know what was happening initially. The only great thing is he's a doctor's son. And with me, I started to, one day, I knew he couldn't wave his magic wand. No one could. So I started to research every single aspect of where
that.
I was.
I love that.
And you know, the curiosity thing?
You
and I knew I had to do that.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm the only one who can turn my life around. I'm the only one who needs to change here to manage a quality of life that I can live again and also cherish this, you know, this great relationship that we have. Because I would say our love has grown because we've actually learned together the coping mechanisms, the managing. And Chris, I admire his patience, and I couldn't do any of what I'm doing now without him. He is.
Is there a pattern that when that shift started from for you, where the research is there a pattern that you did then? Is there a behaviour you did then that you must continue to this day now that you go, I must do that in the mornings? For example, I always get up and I always have my 500 mils of water, regardless, no matter what, no matter if I'm feeling ill, if I'm up, down, if I'm going and getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go and travel. What do you do then that you still do now?
Well, that's exactly it. Start with water. We need water. Is it water is life. Water is energy. First thing in the morning. And
does that make a difference to you and your body?
It makes a huge difference. A huge difference. Sometimes I have a large glass of warm water with a squeeze of lemon juice. Sometimes it's water. But what I do is I never just jump out of bed and off I go. No, it's I meditate, perhaps.
In bed?
In bed, lying down in bed, and I visualize my day ahead. It's already planned in the diary, but I actually visualize how this day is going to be and what I need to achieve the goal I've achieved. What I have to do is, you talked about writers writing for 12 hours. Absolutely not. It's a real process for me. I have to eat. My blood sugar drops very quickly. So the first thing I do is after walking or taking exercise, come back and eat a great breakfast. And then that gives me focus. And then I know exactly where I'm going to start in terms of my writing. I know, and I prioritize. I have a little alarm clock beside my computer, my laptop. And I will start with 45 minutes. I get up, I walk around, I'll go and make a green tea, come back. Now, okay, sometimes I'm on a roll. But if I keep going, whoa, there is a payoff. And it's not worth it.
I'm the same.
Yes.
Louis, aren't I the same? I have 50 minutes. 50. This is, we're twins, Miriam.
Yeah.
And I promise you, and I have 50 minutes, and then I'm in that, and I can feel sometimes, and I'm the same, it always comes back
That's
to
right.
bite
it
me.
It does. Absolutely. And when I'm working, but I have to come out of the zone and I have to go off. I'll go off and walk around the block, come back. I have to eat every few hours and I eat the kind of food that is really clean and organic and just fills me with energy.
It's like each cell just goes,
yes, suck it up. Absolutely. And then off I go again because I need focus. And my best hours are always the morning. My energy hours are always the morning. And to this day, I have a ritual every day between 3:30 and 6 o'clock. I rest. Occasionally, you'll see me after six, but very rarely. Mm. I have to rest. And if I don't sleep well. If I rest in the afternoon, I sleep better in the evening.
Winston Churchill used to do this all the time. So we're the greatest. Greatest of them all. Song number two. Hold My Hand, Jess Glynn.
Oh.
What is the essence of the song for you?
Well, the essence for the song for me, first of all, I love Jess Glynn because I know that she actually has overcome anxieties and depression. Mm. But when she's on stage, does she connect and engage with her audience? And I just love her voice. I find Hold My Hand uplifting. It raises my spirits because we all need that help and support and encouragement, don't we? We all need someone who takes us by the hand, leads us, guides us. And I'm very lucky that I have my superhero. I have Chris in that. Because every day comes with challenges. But when I hear this song, I know it's going to be okay.
Enjoy.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see your face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. In my mind I'm running around a cold and empty space. Just put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. Break my bones, but you won't see me.
So please don't make me wait, cause I don't wanna break. No, I don't wanna fall. When you're next to me, content, I'm not afraid to be. You don't make me wait, and never let me break. You never let me fall. Darling, hold my hand. Cause I don't wanna walk on my own anymore. Won't you understand? Cause I don't wanna walk alone. I'm leaving this. There's no denying. I'm leaving this. You stop me falling. I'm leaving this. I need you holding. I'm leaving this. So darling, won't you hold my hand?
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Channel Radio. It's your 24-hour station.
That's my favourite link. Channel Radio. I love it. Love it, Miriam. So here it is. Are you ready for this? Are you holding on to the seat of your pants?
I sure am. I sure am.
The seven what's one who.
Okay.
So in case the listener has no idea what we're talking about, this is seven questions beginning with what that Miriam's going to answer. She's got no idea what I'm going to ask her. She's like, oh my God.
I know.
And it's really for you to hear Miriam's answer, and then really to ask yourself, what do I believe? So here we go. What thoughts do you have that are different from others?
They're my unique thoughts. They are mine. Because I'm wired up differently to anyone else. I'm individual. So my thoughts are I would like to think, are completely separate to anyone else's. But there will be certain aspects of my thoughts that will connect with someone.
What do you do to build your belief?
I believe. I trust. I trust in the process, which I didn't before. I always wanted to have the control, you know. I don't anymore. I really trust in the process. And that is whether life is flowing or I'm stuck. Or I'm in perhaps just that quiet place of limbo. There's nothing wrong with that. But I absolutely trust the process.
Do you do, I know you said you mentioned meditation. Do you do any breathing techniques? Do you?
Yes. Because I've been doing yoga for over 17 years. I actually started to do some Pilates last year. I do a lot of breathing. I also do Reiki.
On yourself?
Oh, I actually purposely... 13 years ago, I actually did a course, particularly because when I'm in the mountains, there's no one there to help me heal.
Mm.
It's up to me. So every other day, I do a range of breathing and Reiki techniques that support me.
I love this word heal. I think it's such an important word to use, and not recover. Or I think healing, we should do this every day.
Yeah, it's ongoing.
Every day,
supporting,
regardless,
yeah.
Isn't it?
You know, we do it with every other aspect of our lives. We look after our cars. We look after our children. We look after our house.
Mm.
What about us? You know, we need that healing and support system as well.
What do you do to lift people up?
Humour.
You are funny.
I would like to think the old Irish humour, and that's the one thing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever challenges, we can always find humour and the fun aspect. And I also think just being honest and speaking from the heart and in my voice, there's no edges.
Mm.
It's just me here today or any other day. And I know I have been told that people really feel that power, and I tune into people very quickly, so they pick that up as well, that vibration perhaps.
Mm. What has there been a time and a season for you? So when's your time and season been?
Oh, gosh. Well, I believe the season is now, right here, right now, because that's all we have. We have the moment, the season, right now. And I'm embracing it and I'm welcoming it. And I hope your listeners as well feeling that, that really our moment is now. And once it's gone, it's gone. So make the most of it.
Mm. What have you never wanted anything more than?
What have I ever? Oh, gosh. Well, I would say that the love I have, I didn't know that I wanted the love that I have now with Chris, the love that I have now for myself. Yeah, I couldn't imagine not having either, actually.
How interesting. It always comes back to love.
It is all about love. That's what life's all about, relationships and love. Helping, sharing, giving back. Mm. Reaching out to people. It's not about us. It's what can you do for someone else? Absolutely.
We talk about this, don't we? You and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
So here's that classic question. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. What, Miriam, is your teeth out moment?
Laugh out loud. Now, this is a true story. The fallout teeth moment really is the teeth bird. These teeth. Now, laugh. And here's the story about the falling out of the teeth moment. I went back to Turkey last November, December. And I have waited 17 years to have my teeth sorted. Because what happened when I had my health challenges, it affected, I talked about my immune system. And I always had good teeth, but it affected my teeth. And every dentist said, Miriam, you're going to have them sorted. You're going to have them sorted. And for years and years and years, I would not smile. Or if I smiled, it was a very kind of well-placed smile, but it wasn't a natural smile. I spoke earlier. I was always making faces. My father gave up with photographs. Even Chris would get so impatient. Went in. I had fallout teeth. Listen to this. I had over 8 hours in the chair. I've had 17 teeth veneers. 50 injections later, fallout teeth, pain like you would not believe. But you know what's happening now? I'm smiling for Ireland and Kent and Turkey.
I thought you were going to say they actually came out. That would have been very, I was like,
well,
oh my goodness.
If you'd seen me before the veneers were on, oh my God, the Green Witch of Dublin, you would not believe.
No.
But it took, my gums are still healing, but I had to have it done. It was a necessity.
Yeah.
But you know what happens now? My teeth come into the room before I do. And I can't stop smiling. And confidence. Because of what I do, like you, Bird, I speak. And if you're doing podcasts and videos, you have to be.
Yeah.
And I just love to smile. And actually, I recently had some headshots done with a lovely Richard Torbal. And he said, Miriam, we don't need the full smile. I said, I can't help myself.
It's all or nothing. They're in or they're out. I can't keep them in.
So it was painful.
Wonderful.
And the dentist said, Miriam, I promise you, it will be a memory. It will pass. And it has. Yeah. And here I am.
It's funny. And you tell stories. And this is the beauty of storytelling. Is you've just reminded me of my nan with her teeth. And so thank you, because you've just given me that story. And it's just taken me back. So thank you. Last one. What do you not hold on to what was? So what was, do you hold on to anything?
My past life,
mm-hmm.
Who I thought I was, who I thought I had to be in order to maybe be popular or people to like me. Maybe there was that neediness because it all stemmed, we spoke earlier, I was the smallest in my family and the smallest in my class. So perhaps I was always striving to kind of stand out, but I don't need to. I can just be me. I don't have to be anything, and people will find me or they won't.
Who do you believe is incredible at this moment? Who is the talent of the moment that you're seeing? What do you believe?
Who is the talent? Mm. Well, apart from you, Bird.
Thank you.
Who is the talent at the moment? Oh, gosh. Well, I will tell you who the talent is. Can I say two?
Yeah, you
who really
can say,
stand
yeah,
out for me because
do.
They're very, very different.
Yeah, it's really important.
One is a wonderful lady that I connected with in the States last year. Her name is Jenny Milchman.
Mm.
And she has become almost, she sits on my shoulder when I write. She is a thriller writer, a New York Times bestseller. It took her 13 years before she had her first book published. It took something like 22 drafts. She never, ever gave up. Ever gave up.
And as a writer, to do 22 drafts is painful in itself, just to do one, isn't it? To do two.
And she's now on her third or fourth book, and she's out there. And the other lady is Shelley Plum of Plum Talk Women, who Jenny introduced me to. And she is all about empowering women, health and well-being. And we connected, and it's a bit like you and I, Bird, today. We just had this incredible connection.
Mm.
And going forward, the plan is to develop and collaborate some projects with her. Incredible.
What is your highest purpose? What is your most ridiculous dream?
Well, is it ridiculous? I'll tell you what it is. Right now is to continue to develop and learn my craft of writing and to be the best that I can be. There's no competition. And in turn, that will continue to reflect on my speaking. As a speaker, as a storyteller, as a blogger. That will impact on everything. So that's it.
And what do you see success to look like to you? What is success? What is your definition of success?
Success for me, and again, it's right now. Mm. Success for me is being healthy, being happy, and allowing myself just every day, every hour of every day, is to be the best that I can be and live in the moment.
Mm. So before we come to the final question, can you believe this? How do we connect with you, Miriam? How do we get hold of you? How can somebody reach out to you?
People can reach out my website. New website going live this Friday, all crossed. MiriamMcGurk.com. My Twitter handle is Miriam_McGurk. And my Instagram is MiriamMcGurk1.
Anything,
or Facebook, sorry.
Anything coming up? Any events coming up that you're speaking at? Any books? Anything that you want to let us know what's coming up in your world?
I continue to work on my next book. There will be more speaking events. I can't say anything at the moment, but there will be more speaking events. One project that is very much in the pipeline at the end of this year, next year, the title is In Conversation With. It'll be very different. Mm. In Conversation With Miriam.
Mm.
Back in the US next year, definitely developing more of my speaking events here and in the US. And as I said, there are quite a few writing collaboration projects on hand with the States and here. So
here it is. Here's your last question. Share one piece of wisdom that you would love to be known for.
Well, I have lived by this for over 20 years. And it is, change comes with a single step, followed by another, followed by. And I would say on that, don't be afraid of change. Embrace it. You don't have to know the ending. But what you do need to do is take that first step.
Thank you so much, Miriam. Thank you for creating magic by having a conversation with me today. Thank you for your beautiful, powerful words. And thank you for standing tall in the arena.
Oh, Bird, it's been an absolute pleasure. And can I say, I feel uplifted today. I feel inspired today. Thank you.
Pleasure, pleasure. So, who have we got next week, Bird, I hear you say? Alison Trethaway-Smith. Alison is an energy coach, author, speaker. And after many stressful years, Alison was diagnosed with ME and chronic fatigue syndrome. And she's going to show us how she helps others with her wisdom to live the most happy, energetic and stress-free life. So it has been the most... oh my gosh, what's going on with me today? It has been the most amazing conversation. Have a truly amazing week. It has been my absolute honour to bring to you the most extraordinary people making an impact in the universe. Remember, keep reaching every day and go shine bright.